And so last week, we talked about a guy named who? Oh my gosh, half of you got it. Shamgar, right? And Shamgar did what? He slayed 600 people with a stick. I love it. And so tonight, we're going to be talking about something so crazy that it's awesome. Now, it's no secret that I love food, right? I love any kind of food. You name it, I love it. Ice cream, love it. Cheeseburgers, love it. Chicken wings, give me 50, right? But when it comes to vegetables, that's a little bit of a stretch for me. Now, I love steamed broccoli, especially with cheese on it. But I'm not touching it if it's like raw, fresh out the box. That's just not me. It's a texture thing with me. And there's a second thing that I hate more than anything else. And it kind of runs in the same family. It's cauliflower. Yeah, I hate cauliflower. So some of you guys know that every year I go to Germany, right? And so what we do in Germany, we're there for 10 days and we teach kids baseball and share the gospel. And it's incredible. We have like 300 kids. It's amazing. And so there's always been a rule whenever I go on a trip, while we stay with host homes, and whatever you put on your plate, you got to eat it. That's what my mama taught me when I was a little kid. My daddy would had a stern voice and told me, you better eat all that food, boy. That's what he would tell me. So I made sure no matter what I put on my plate, I was going to eat it. So we get off the plane, and it's like 14 hours, and I'm like dog tired, and I smell pretty bad because I haven't showered. And like I just smell sometimes. So I get off the plane, and I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to eat. So when we get there, our host home, they're like, hey, guess what? We made you authentic German dinner. By golly, I was excited. They had like this meat that was incredible called like schnitzel. It was great. And then they had this wonderful bowl of whipped white goodness. Mashed potatoes. Right? So granted, I was hungry. Right? When I'm hungry, I eat anything. Like, I get hangry. You know what hangry means? You get angry when you're hungry. That's like every day for me. I can eat a 5-course meal. 10 minutes later, I'm like, man, I really want some more to eat. Golly. It's like when I go to a buffet, I stay for like 7 hours. They kick me out. It's crazy. That's why the prices always jump up at buffets, all right? So I remember I'm sitting there, and I'm throwing like 5 things of like this meat on there, like some bread. And I'm just going to town on these mashed potatoes. I'm making like a snow mountain. I'm layering, layer, layer, layer. And like it's climbing, it's incredible. It's almost as tall as me. And so the first thing I do, because I love mashed potatoes, is I grab me a spoon. I'm salivating at this point, right? Like, you know what salivating means? Like I'm drooling like a dog. So I scoop me a big old helping of mashed potatoes. I eat me some mashed potatoes, and as soon as it hit the back of my mouth, I knew it wasn't mashed potatoes. It was mashed cauliflower. And so for the next 45 minutes, I've never eaten a meal in 45 minutes in my life. It's normally like 5 seconds, boom, I'm out, I'm done. So for the next 45 minutes, I'm struggling through eating this mashed cauliflower because it's so disgusting. What I thought was mashed potatoes was the one thing I feared more than anything else, mashed cauliflower. And the guy I was staying with was laughing with me because we were paired up, and he knew I hated cauliflower, and he's laughing. So I'm like, oh, it's just disgusting. So sometimes we do stuff without even thinking, right? Like I ate mashed potatoes because I'm like, dude, I love mashed potatoes and mashed cauliflower. Like, way to start the 10 days off. It's terrible. It's brutal. And so this guy named Ezekiel, he ate something weird, right? I kind of talked about this last week. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead, jump open to Ezekiel. We'll start in chapter 2. We'll kind of jump a little bit, right? So Ezekiel, let me go ahead and set the stage for us all, right? The chapter before is this thing called Lamentations, right? And it's a song by Jeremiah. He's sitting there saying, Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken us? Because bad things are happening. And then just before that is the book of Jeremiah. And here's what happens in the book of Jeremiah. The nation of Israel is now going to be in captivity, right? They rebelled against God, and so now it becomes punishment. So Jeremiah's sitting there, and he's saying, Lord, Lord, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. So this guy named Ezekiel turns out to be this dude called a prophet, right? We know what a prophet is. What? What's a prophet? A dude that goes and speaks on behalf of the Lord, right? Now, there were many people back in the day that proclaimed to be a prophet, but Ezekiel was the dude, right? Some crazy things happened to this guy. right? So we know a prophet is a guy who goes on behalf of the Lord and talks. And so why? Because it was Ezekiel's job to tell the nation of Israel, hey, look, it's bad now, but good things are going to happen. Right, so prophets, they don't get all the glitz and glamour, right? They don't have the money, they don't have any of that. They don't have like the Mercedes Benz or anything like that. Like my dude Ezekiel later on in the chapters, he lays on his left side on these bricks and he's eating like this gross food, all because of what God told him to. But here's what happened with Ezekiel. So Ezekiel was called by God to be a prophet. Here's what it says, chapter 2, verse 7. But you, Ezekiel, shall be my God, words to them, which is the nation of Israel, whether they listen to me or not, because they are rebellious. So we see right off the bat is this, Ezekiel was called by God to be a voice, to be a tool to the people, right? And here's the crazy thing that happened. Verse 8, this is God speaking. He says, now open your mouth and eat what I'm going to give you, right? I'm thinking mashed potatoes, right? I'm thinking mashed potatoes. Verse 9, then I looked and behold, a hand was extended to me and lo, a scroll was in it. What? Yes. So God's command to Israel was, God's command to Ezekiel was to eat what? A piece of paper. Now, I've eaten weird things in my day. I used to eat paste in kindergarten. That's why I'm kind of weird now. But I would not eat a scroll. But here's, it gets even crazier. His response is bananas. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. That's twice. Here's Ezekiel's response. Then I ate it. Can we just pause right there? Then I ate it. That's gross, man. That's gross. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth, like the bees, like the Italian bees. Let's get some honey. Yeah. Now, verse 4, here's the commission to Ezekiel that God gave. Then he said to me, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. Verse 10, here's the last one. It says, take into heart all my words which I speak to you, and listen closely. So let's, I'm a visual learner, okay? I'm a huge visual guy. And so here's how I think this played out. It's God sitting there to Ezekiel, man, here's the deal. I want you to do this for me. Ezekiel's like, okay, cool, yeah, man, I'll do whatever you want. You're God. You know, you're the creator. You can, like, fly. It's awesome. And so he's like, I want you to eat this. But I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. So he's like, okay, cool. It's probably going to be like a piece of pie or anything. But this hand then comes with this piece of paper like this. Like, you know what a scroll is, right? And then it's here, and then he says, I want you to eat it. And what's his response? So here's how it played out. He's like, here, eat this. So Ezekiel does this. You guys ready? You'll never forget this for the rest of your life. So this is what Ezekiel does, right? Probably put some hot sauce on it, some ranch dressing. He takes it, and he just does this right here. You ready? And he eats the scroll. It doesn't taste very good. That's gross. Remind me to get that later. But he eats the scroll. He eats a piece of paper. I would encourage you not to do that. It doesn't taste very good. I'm going to eat a mint later. Yeah, gross. But he eats this scroll. And here's what his response to that was this. Oh. Then I ate it and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. The paper I just ate tasted disgusting. But the scroll that was given to Ezekiel tasted so sweet to him. And so God commissioned Ezekiel saying, now you have these words. You've literally eaten them. Right? You've taken them in. And now I want you to go out and tell people about it. And so here's what I understand about Ezekiel. Unless we know it, we can't speak it. If Ezekiel never would have said yes and taken that scroll, right, and eaten God's words, he never would have understood anything. And so Ezekiel's words lay the foundation for Christ. If we go along the story of Ezekiel, we get to Ezekiel chapter 37. It's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. It's the story of the dry bones. I mentioned this last week. These bones are in the valley. They're dead. Then they get up and start dancing around and having a party, right? What all that leads to is this. Ezekiel 37 proclaims where he says, look, here's the deal. Yes, one day we're all going to die, but we will be resurrected again. That's all leading up to Jesus, right? So a book that was written many, many years before Jesus says, hey, look, here's the deal. There's going to be a dude that comes and boom, we're going to be back to life. Ugh, still gross in my mouth. So Ezekiel was commissioned by God to eat the scroll, to eat God's words, and then go out and tell other people about it. Now here's what God wants from us. Here's our commission. God calls us, don't man, you're going to want to tweet this. God calls us to eat the scroll. I'm like, I'm not eating, that's gross. But here's what I mean by that. God calls us to eat the scroll, not physically, but spiritually. Right? Ezekiel was given a great task of taking the scroll and eating these words and chewing them and dissecting them and putting hot sauce on it because it probably tasted gross. But it said it was so sweet as honey. God calls us to do the same thing spiritually. So second question is, how do we eat it? Right? We know that when it comes time to eat, what do? We sit down at the table, we take our napkin and put it right here as a bib, right? Y'all still do that? I do that all the time, man. Like when it comes to ribs, it's game over. Just put a little of that. It's awesome. I do that because I spill a lot. So how do we eat the scroll? First, we have to desire it. Right? Ezekiel's response to God in the beginning was simply what? Okay. Whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want because you're God and I'm not and I trust you and I'm just a dude who's going to eat the scroll in a second. You have to desire it, right? Every day when I wake up, I have a bowl of Captain Crunch Crunch Berries. When I lay my head down at night after I say my prayers, I cannot wait till my alarm goes off at 6:30 in the morning to have 5 bowls of Captain Crunch Crunch Berries because I desire it so much. Second thing we have to do is when we eat the scrolls, we have to study it. Right, you guys are in school, right? I'm in school, I'm in seminary. All you do in seminary is you read and you write, that's it. Read books, you write papers. But when it comes to final exam time, right, or a test the next day, you can't just cram that night and expect to do really well, right? Because 10 times out of 10, you're gonna fail that if you don't study. So God calls us to take these words and study it. Did you guys know this, that the Bible is just one big story? You guys know that? That even in Genesis chapter 3, God says, hey, look, here's the deal. I'm going to send someone to save you all, right? In Revelation, John's sitting there at the Isle of Patmos, and guess what he does? He eats a scroll. If you don't believe me, look it up. So it's all one big story, but we have to first desire to want something, and then how do we do that? Man, we got to study it. The third part is the most important. We have to believe it. Now, I wasn't alive when Ezekiel was alive, but I believe this book wholeheartedly. I believe that every word, every comma, every period, every space between a word was inspired by God. And so when it says Ezekiel ate a scroll, he ate a scroll. When Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, no one should come to the Father except through him, I'm going to believe that dude, right? When people are sitting there saying, hey, look, he resurrected from the dead, I'm going to believe that. So the next part is this, is your heart determines your life. If Ezekiel would have never believed in what God was telling him, he would have never done it. You guys ever heard the old saying, listen to your heart? There was like a song in like the 80s, like listen to your heart, you know what I'm talking about? Like listen to your heart. Yeah, yeah, it's like, it used to be on like Dance Dance Revolution or Guitar Hero. Oh, I would jam to that. But here's what we have to understand about our heart. It can be a tricky thing sometimes, right? As teenagers, your emotions are a roller coaster, right? One week you have like a crush on Betty Lou Who. The next day you're like, oh, I like Susie Q. You know, it's weird. At least that's how guys are. I don't know how girls are. Girls are just a whole nother. Well, no, I'm going to go there. I love you all. I love you all, right? But here's what Proverbs says about our heart. Our heart is most important. Our heart determines our life. And God wants to be in the center of everything. Right? If our heart stops, what happens to us? Boom, we're done. So our heart determines our life. And God calls out, God wants to be the center of everything. So we have to eat to speak. Right? During my time last night and this morning when I was studying for tonight, I began to cross-reference. You guys know what cross-reference means? Yeah. Began to go back throughout the Bible and see where crazy stories popped up, where Ezekiel's prophecies popped up, right? Earlier on in chapter 3, verse 2, they mention about a prophet coming. That's Deuteronomy 18, where God says, look, here's the deal. I'm going to raise up a prophet that is greater than anything else. Right, Jesus later in his gospel says, look, I am that God. So I began to dive in and really see, man, Ezekiel's words show up numerous times in the stories we hear every day. But unless we desire to learn more, unless we desire to study more, we would never know that. So here's three things that I really discovered this week. Right, is that Ezekiel prophesied, right? He ate the scroll and he says, look, here's the deal. Nation of Israel, you're bad people. But here's the good news. God loves you and someone's going to come later on to save us, right? Second one is this, is Christ rectified. That's a huge word. I had to actually Google that word. Rectified simply means this. It's put back together, right? When Christ busts into the scene later on in the New Testament, he says, look, everything that the prophets wrote about is now here. So the third part is most important. So we have to decide. Now what do we decide? So you say, Timmy, that's a great story. Okay, this dude eats the scroll, fantastic. Last week, Shamgar, okay, cool. Week before that, donkey talks, okay, no big deal. Week before that, some guy calls bald and boom, cheetahs. That's great. These are cool stories, but what am I really ultimately deciding on? It's the same thing Ezekiel decided on. We have to take this, we have to eat it, and we have to speak it, right? If Ezekiel never would have reached out and taken the scroll and eaten it, who knows what would have happened in the rest of the story of the Bible? If he never would have reached out and said, man, this is so sweet, this is honey, we don't know. But the second part is this, is that he went out. And everything that he learned on that moment, in that time, he told everybody else. So here's our commission. And here's what we have to decide. Is I love a good feast. I do. I love a feast. I love Thanksgiving. Tables are set. Turkey's there. Sweet potato pie's there. And all these other things. And the chairs are at the table. Napkins folded. You have like two forks, a knife, and a spoon. And as you picture a feast, everything's laid out for you. There's always one thing you have to do first before anything else. You got to sit down at the table. Because this, if you don't sit down at the table, you don't get to eat. There ain't no standing and eating where I come from. No, you got to sit down at the table. Because here's what happens when we sit down, is we officially accept what we're about to eat. Don't miss that. When we sit down at a table, we accept we're about to eat. When Ezekiel said, okay, I'm going to eat that, he knelt before the Lord. He says, give me whatever you have. I'm going to eat this. It is so sweet. It tastes like honey. But you know what happened? He was so excited that he did what? He went out and told everybody else what happened. And so for us as middle schoolers, here's what we have to understand and decide. Is that God calls us to eat this spiritually, which means this, to dive in each and every morning and understand what it truly means to have a personal relationship with Jesus, because there is nothing in this world, because I promise you, I've lived 25 years, I've seen a lot of things, there is nothing in this world that could ever satisfy you besides this, because I promise you that. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy you more than God's word. That's why Ezekiel said, man, this tastes like honey. Because it satisfies everything. Guys, listen, I know what it's like to be y'all. I was there not that long ago. I don't want to go back. It was a scary time for me. And I'm being real serious, man. y'all deal with a lot of stuff. Home life, school life, academics, athletics, whatever it is. Because I promise you this, the world is going to throw things at you and say, hey, this is better than anything you've ever experienced in your life. It could be a relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be something you hold in your hand and possess. But I promise you this, you can ask myself, or any of the adults in here, the greatest thing in the world, and nothing could ever satisfy like this. Guys, it is as sweet as honey. So my question to you guys is this. So are you going to sit at the table and eat? God prepared everything for you. A grand feast. Anything you want, anything you desire. Ezekiel tasted it firsthand. He said, man, this is so sweet. This is like honey. And we know that the promised land mentions honey. That the greatest thing in Ezekiel's life was God. The greatest thing in my life is this right here. But if you were to take my Bible away from me today, tomorrow I'd be okay, because here's why. Because I've hidden his word in my heart. I've studied this over and over and over again. And every time I open up my Bible, I read something new. But I never would have desired it if I didn't believe it first. So I've got a crazy story. When I was y'all's age, my parents taught Sunday school my whole life. Like literally, when the doors were open, we were there. A dude could be washing windows, we were there at church. And I began to sit in the front row each and every Sunday, and I hear the same stories over and over and over and over and over again. Guys, I could answer all the questions. I could tell you any story backwards and forwards. So I went along this path of just being complacent in everything that was going on. Man, I had all this knowledge right in here about who God was, but I never truly believed in it. And one thing changed my life forever. I was at camp in sixth grade, just like some of you guys. I was at camp in sixth grade. Man, I'm a sixth grader. The greatest part of my day was waking up and playing Xbox. That's all I cared about. And so I can remember being there the last night, right? And a question was raised, and it was this. Don't throw away the spoon. I was like, what does that even mean? I have no idea what that means. I tuned the guy out all week, and here's what he said. When it comes time for dessert, what do you always do? You got to hold the spoon, right? Main entree goes away, you hold the spoon. So I began to talk to a guy named Brian. I said, Brian, explain to me more what this means. Is how, because I can never get this through my brain, how could a God who said he loves me unconditionally create me to be the way that I am? So he began to talk to me about certain things. And here's what he said to me, and I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. It changed everything. He said, Timmy, if you're the only person to ever walk on the face of this earth, God loved you so much, he still would have sent his son for you. Just so you could have a personal, genuine relationship with him. It was at that moment in a hotel room at a camp that I said, man, you know what? All this stuff I have right here, I transferred to here. I always said the greatest distance I ever had to travel was a foot. It's the distance from my head to my heart. Because I promise you this, is that unless you believe this, you'll be just like me. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but unless you take that step of faith and say, God, you know what? This is crazy. You want me to eat this scroll? Okay, I'm going to eat it. Tastes like honey. Or like Shamgar. God, you want me to do what? Okay, I trust you. Here I go. So my challenge to you is this tonight. Is are you going to sit at the table? Because God has a great thing in store for each and every one of you. But you first have to take that step towards believing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, here's what I believe about all of us in this room. I believe that there's two types of people in this room. One is the one who's made a decision for Christ. He says, man, you know what? God is the greatest thing in my life. And there's the second type of person in this room, the one who walked the same path I did. That said, man, you know what, Timmy? I come in each and every Sunday, each and every Wednesday, my mom, my dad, everybody drags me in here. I hear all the stories. I can tell you anything you want to know. But I've yet to take that first step in trusting in Jesus. Because I promise you this, the greatest thing you could ever do in this world is have a personal, genuine relationship with Jesus. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's adults in this room. When I say amen, if that's you, if you're that second person, you would say to me today on Wednesday night in April, so Timmy, I've never trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've sat in this room each and every week, but today's the day where I sit at the table. Today's the day where I taste the honey. Then when I say amen, I want you to go find one of them.